Salutations, Mets fans. Welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, just getting over the last throes of a head cold, Jeffrey Paternostro. And with me this week is Greg Karam. Greg, what would be the Terry Collins equivalent of benching Yasiel Puig in an elimination game? Imagine Terry Collins, Mets playoff manager.
To cause that kind of outrage, yeah. I mean, it's their best player, so it's got to be David Wray.
See, I feel like it has to be Terry Collins wouldn't do that, though. Right. It's got to be something that Terry Collins would do.
So then it's benching Legaris, I think.
I came up with actually double switching, because he loves double switches. Yeah. He double switches Legaris out of a game late, and somehow Eric Young Jr. ends up playing center field in a playoff game, like in a close late game. Or Granderson, one of the two.
Yeah. It's something like that. It's not working out for them so far.
No, I don't think you can really blame Puig for Clayton Kershaw getting up a 3-run homer. It's actually funny. I had to have my father pick me up from work today, and he's a diehard Dodgers fan. So we had Scully on in the car on the way home. And as soon as the first single went through in the sixth, he's like, take him out, take him out. I'm like, have you watched the Dodgers bullpen this year? And I know he has, but...
Yeah.
And you tell him that. Man, it's so clear when I get it where I get it from. Because as soon as Matt added to the homer, he's like, "Shut it off," which is exactly what I would do, and then turn it back on immediately. But
yeah.
Like, all right, I'll turn it off. Like, flinging on my iPhone, trying to shut down.
Ethier did get thrown out.
Yes, Ethier did make a terrible base running mistake.
Yes, so there's something there.
So this is episode 88 of Amazing Avenue Audio. And we're going to, 88 was a very important year for me as a Mets fan. So I'm going to dig into the 1988 season. We're going to call it 1988, the year the New York Mets broke little Jeffrey's heart.
Oh.
Well, it ties back in, actually, with my father, the Dodgers fan. Of course, that year, the Dodgers beat the Mets in 7 in the NLCS. After, I think, the Mets, something ridiculous, they were like 10-2 against the Dodgers that year or something. Insane. And of course, there was a Mike Socha home run and the rain out allowing Hershiser to come back for game 7. Which I have vague memories of all of this being, 6 years old at the time. But my most vivid memory is what happened afterwards. I don't think I've told this story before on the podcast. I may have alluded to it, the end result. So when I was a young child, my father would, we play this game, which was basically just a way for me to work on various baseball skills. We called it Mets versus Dodgers, and he'd give me like game situations, and I'd have to like give me grounders and pop-ups, and there'd be a guy on first, or I'd turn a double play and stuff like that, just like in the backyard, sort of a more advanced way to play catch. And then I'd do the same thing, and we'd go through the Mets lineup, and we'd usually do like 9 innings of it, after dinner. Mm-hmm. When it was baseball season, or when I was doing Little League or whatever. I remember the first night we did it after the Dodgers beat the Mets. And I don't remember how I took it. I feel like I took it okay at first. All I remember is that it was a close game late because we keep score, sort of. I had Jeff Innes bat for himself. I don't remember if Innes was on the 80 Mets. He must have been. I knew the roster pretty well forward and backwards at that point. I had him bat for himself, which was a pretty... Now, even by Davey Johnson in like the 10th inning, that would have been a unusual move. And it proceeded to throw the ball into the neighbor's yard for a home run and then stop off and not talk to him for a week.
Oh, man.
And frankly, Evan, 25, Jesus Christ, I'm old. 25 years later, don't take Mets losses much better.
Yeah, that must have been pretty traumatizing. It was probably a couple years before I could start remembering things.
I have been over the last 25 years battle-hardened with a certain amount of ironic detachment, which helps.
I think you kind of develop. I'm only assuming, but you must develop that as you get older. I mean, because you've just been through so much, heartbreak and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you sort of... It's not as important to you. I mean, I don't feel like it should be as important to me at 32 as it was at 6 or even 16 for that matter.
Right.
I mean, for some people it is, and those people, I don't like to hang out with those people. Let me put it that way. They make me a little nervous. I mean, I still live and die with the team, but I just don't, you know, stop talking to people for a week. 2 weeks. It was a long period of time. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I think it's called, becoming a mature adult.
Yes, which I'm not, certainly. One of the reasons I have a head cold, I should say, is that much like last time when I went down to New York City to watch Sheffield Wednesday play Leeds in the Yorkshire Derby, I didn't quite sleep enough and drank a little too much and stayed out a little too late and didn't dress appropriately.
Well, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yes. I may have actually drank more at this meetup because people kept buying rounds. We actually had a pretty packed house. We had a family on holiday, plus the first Norwegian Sheffield Wednesday fan I've ever met. So I learned a lot about Norway and the Norwegian drinking culture.
Interesting.
So in that respect, it was a productive weekend. Went to a Cosmos game for the Sheffield Wednesday player, which was, I think, the reason I got a cold. I would have been okay, but I wasn't quite dressed warmly enough. It was a little windy on Long Island.
Where do they play out by Hofstra?
They play at Hofstra at their soccer stadium. Yeah. It's actually, they do a really nice job. It's like a nice facility. I was pretty impressed with it. And of course, JJ, who started every single game since he signed with Indy 11. I think the first game they brought him on the sub. But he was on the bench for this game, of course.
Right.
But he gave me the thumbs up when I clapped him on my Wednesday shirt, so whatever. That was nice.
There you go.
But now I have a head cold, and I am self-medicating, as I normally do. I'm not big on decongestant. But since we will be doing our 2014 Mets year in review on this podcast, I'm drinking a little 2014 limited edition small batch bourbon from Four Roses. It's quite good.
Does sound delicious. Not a bourbon guy.
I'm almost exclusively a bourbon guy at this point in my life, or brown liquor. I'll do rye. So yes, that is the agenda. We'll do our 2014 year in review. Last year we did grades. I didn't like that. I don't like awards because it's like there's no debate. It's like team MVP, is it Duda or Lagares? Like, we'll talk about Jacob DeGrom some more in the Cy Young section. So it's just it doesn't float my boat. So I'll do something a little different this year. We'll talk about some of our favorite or most memorable moments from the season. At least give you the illusion that we're doing a proper 2014 review, we will spend 30 seconds on every single Met on their 2014 baseball reference page. And looking at it, that is 45 players. So that'll be 22 and a half minutes, give or take.
Give or take.
Let's go right down the list and alternate.
I think we need a margin of error on this.
Yeah, it's over under, give or take. Some will be shorter, some will be longer, probably. I'm going to try to keep it to 30 seconds. I got the little timer here. After that, we will start talking about some prospects. It's going to be quiet around here news-wise probably for the next month or two, at least until winter meetings, I would imagine. You know, after the World Series, there'll be little stuff. We'll have like non-tenders if there's non-tenders, some Rule 5 machinations, but not really enough to get a whole segment out of. I say that, and I'll probably be railing about Rule 5 selections in 6 weeks, in episode 94 or whatever. But as we start our road towards the 2015 Amazing Avenue Mets prospect list, we'll take a look each week at not necessarily a player, but maybe a topic that might come into play as we put together our top 25 or so Mets prospect list, assuming that's how we're doing it again this year. That's the assumption I'm going under. So today the subject is Rafael Montero, who is still technically a prospect. He falls just short of the innings cap and service time cap.